Well, I don't know if you got a great birthday, a great Jesus birthday gift this morning. Who got a great gift? Who's happy? Happy with the gifts they got? Who hasn't opened their gifts yet? There's a couple, okay. There's a couple of them who haven't yet opened their gifts, okay. I remember a number of years ago, I got a bike for Christmas, a BMX bike, and it was pretty cool. Now, I've seen a lot of people riding around, and I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen people riding their bikes around with their helmets on their handlebars. Has anyone seen that? It's a weird phenomenon. I drive up to work and there's a kid who does it almost every day and I think, wow, that's a weird thing, isn't it? He must love his handlebars so much, he wants to protect that one handlebar from any accident that might possibly happen to the handlebar. Then I'm scratching my head thinking, it's not really the right size, is it, a helmet to protect a handlebar? Because if he fell, maybe the helmet might fall off and he might still damage his handlebar. Surely he should get a handlebar-sized helmet to fit over the handlebar so it protects it from all disaster, right? Or maybe he should put it on his head. Years ago, when I got my BMX bike, I would, you know, ride around everywhere and every curb and gutter was a jump. Does anyone remember doing that? Yeah, come on. Yeah, kids, if you're here, any little curves, oh, I can do a jump over that. And this is before social media, YouTube, and all this kind of stuff. But I imagine myself, you know, if there were video cameras in those days that would put it onto the internet for millions of people to watch and adore my jumps, then I would have gone virus or something like that. There would have been a virus of my jumping on my bike. I was that. Is that virus? Is that not? A viral, right. I imagine my jumps. And there was this one run around the back streets of where we lived, the quiet street where there was lots of driveways. It was on a hill. And so every driveway created a jump for me to go over on my bike. But there was one particular day where I forgot to wear my helmet. I remember like riding up and then when I was at the top of my jump run, I was like, oh, I forgot my helmet. But being young, I thought, oh, it's okay. I'll just give it a go. Anyway, rode down, and I did this great jump off the final one, a big jump, but I went too far back and landed on my back and banged my head. And from that day on, I've always worn a helmet, right? Kids, if you learn nothing else, wear your helmets. But if that was video, that would have not been one of those ones that I wanted to go viral. That would have been one that was part of a fail kind of list of videos, right? Everyone would have looked at that and laughed at me and gone, oh, that's so foolish to ride without your helmet on. It's so foolish to do a jump and whack your head. Everyone would laugh at that. Now, no one wants to be known for the foolish things that we've done, right? Like, imagine if you're that person who did something so silly that everyone knew you and kept bringing it up, and if it was on social media, they would keep posting it and reposting it and saying, oh, look at this, how foolish he is. We hate to be known for the foolish things that we've done, but the opposite of a fool is what? What's the opposite of a fool is wise, right? We love to be known for the wise things we do. So we hate to be thought as a fool. We love to be known that we've done something wise. I mean, if you're a kid and someone says to you, even as a child, and someone says, wow, that's wise above your years, you think, oh, that's quite a nice thing to say. But if someone says, oh, what a foolish thing to do, you're, oh, that really hurts. We love to be known to be wise. We hate the idea of being called fools. Now, there was a group of people that came and visited Jesus, and they were particularly wise. We know them because that was their name. They were known to be the wise men. They came and visited Jesus on his birthday or around or after his birth. They came from a long way away, and we know that they were wise men. That's what the Bible tells us. We don't know exactly what their jobs were. Is being a wise man was a job, if that paid well. More likely they were academics. They read a lot of things. They looked at different cultures. They heard different things. And they also looked at the stars. And they looked at the stars and they thought, oh, the stars tell us things. This is what they believed. And so as the wise men, thinking that they knew a lot of different things and they looked at the stars, an interesting thing happened in this time in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. There was a prophecy. There was people believed that a great king would be born in the area of Judea. In the Middle East, they believed that something great would happen. A king would be born from that region. Coupled with that, there was a lot of interest in the stars. You know, like when the first rocket went up into space and put man on the moon, everyone wanted to go to the moon. Everyone wanted to be an astronaut. Everyone wanted to eat Mars bars. It became really popular because they were, oh, it's about space. Well, 2,000 years ago, 40 years before Jesus was born, another amazing event happened. A comet shot across the sky. Obviously, it didn't go like that, but people could see in the night sky something moving every night. And it was right after Julius Caesar, the emperor of the Roman Empire, just died. They were going through his burial, and they saw this comet, and they believed that was his spirit going up into the heavens. They believed that he was such a great man that the sky showed him things. So everyone was looking up to the stars. It was really popular to look to the stars to see different things. So you had this belief that someone was going to be, a great king was going to be born in Judea. Then you had this whole group of people looking up to the stars to see what would happen. And that's where we come to in Matthew chapter 2, we read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These wise men thought, well, we see this star. They were living somewhere a long, long, long way away. So they said, we've seen this star. It's directed us in this way. We've heard these prophecies that a great king was going to be born. So they put two and two together and they went, well, where is a king born? A king's born in a palace. A king usually starts off as a prince and then grows up. A king is usually the son of a king. And so they went to the palace to ask, where is King Herod? Where's your little baby boy? This is so exciting. And King Herod scratched his head. And he said, "What? Wait a minute. My wife hasn't had a baby. I haven't had a baby. It's not my baby. A new king's been born. Well, I've got to get rid of this king. I've got to deal with this king," because he wanted his sons to one day take over the ruling of the region. He wanted the princes to become kings one day, not someone else, not some distant person. And so King Herod was upset. But why did the wise men go to Jerusalem in the first place? Because surely they should have just followed the star. They should have just kept following it and it would have led them to Bethlehem and not Jerusalem. You see, there's a thing about wisdom, and it is that there's knowledge, there's being really smart and working out things, and then there's wisdom, which is being able to be knowledgeable, know things, but then also through experience to work out, well, I know what should be true, but then experience helps us to be able to, when something that we think is true but it doesn't always act that way, wisdom allows us to rethink and rework things through. Some people have said if it was wise women and not wise men, they actually would have stopped and asked for directions a lot earlier. They're going all the way to Jerusalem. And they probably would have bought better gifts as well, that babies might have found a bit more useful, like these ladies who bought gift vouchers for Jesus. But the wise men, they thought, well, what's the smart thing to do? To go to Jerusalem, to go to the palace, to go to the king. Yet when they got there, the king said, well, Jesus isn't here. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He heard about a star, he heard about a king that was going to be born, but it wasn't going to be his son, so he was very disturbed. He was very upset. And it says all Jerusalem was upset as well. And we don't know if that was because everyone was upset because the king was upset, and if the king's angry, then everyone watches out and makes sure that they don't get in the king's way. Or whether it was that everyone was a bit concerned that this new king wouldn't be exactly who they expected him to be. You know, the interesting thing about Jesus coming to earth was that he did things that people didn't expect. He turned the way things were done upside down. He brought in a new way that things worked. You see, in the past, everyone would go to the temple to worship God. But Jesus came and said, no, the temple is within your hearts. When God comes and lives within you, you are the temple. In Jesus' day, there were all these priests and holy people, and everyone used to go to them if they wanted to talk to God. Jesus came to say, no, you can talk to God directly. You don't need a mediator. You don't need someone else. Everyone thought, oh, I go to the temple. That's where we do our sacrifices to please God. And Jesus said, no. I will be the sacrifice. I will be the one who will die in your place. And he did. We celebrate that as Easter, as we hear of Jesus going to the cross to die for us. Wisdom would say you go to the temple, you go to the priest, you do your sacrifices. But Jesus came to flip wisdom upside down. He came to be born to poor parents in a manger where he was laying. He didn't get born in a palace, he got born in a stable. He was born with relatives, born into a poor family. Jesus came the opposite of what most people would think that God would do. Yet Jesus didn't do the things that we expected. He came to show a different way. King Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Isn't that incredible? They thought wisdom was, oh, let's go to the palace. But God was telling them something different. And so they changed. They thought, okay, we've got to do something different. And so they went outside and there was the star again. It directed them to Bethlehem. It directed them to Jesus. They were wise because they thought one thing, and when their thoughts were wrong, they were able to change and move in a different direction. And that was what King Herod could not do because he wanted to remain king forever. That's why Jesus had so much conflict through his life with the priests and the holy people, because they wanted to remain the same way. They were in a great position. They had a great job. They were heads of the temple. They wanted to keep it running the way it had always been running. But Jesus came to show a very different way. On coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Isn't that amazing that they would come and worship? They didn't even know Jesus. He wasn't even going to be their king, yet they came from such a distance. They came and they saw Jesus, and their response was to worship, to give glory, to say, oh, glory to God. Something is happening here. A king is born. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They responded to Jesus in this huge way. This week, I had a mum knock on the door of church, and I was here, and she had two boys with her. And she came, and she said, my son, who's about 7 years old, he looked about that high, my son has heard that there's people in need in our community, and he wanted to give away his bike to someone in need. And I just went, wow, that's amazing. He wants to give his bike. His bike looked really good, And so I said, wow, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give me this bike. I will make sure that this bike goes to a great family who has need. It will be stored well. It will be looked after. It will be loved. And so I took that bike and I put it in my shed in the backyard. And I'm going to enjoy jokes. I'm jokes, guys. I'm jokes. I didn't take a kid's bike. Man, you guys are thinking, wow, he's the worst pastor ever. I gave it to my son. No, I didn't do that either. Now, I thought about, who can we give it to? This is such a good thing. I couldn't think of anyone who needed a bike that I knew of. And so I said, oh, I know. We have friends down at the Salvation Army. They are always connecting with people who have great need. If you go and give it there, I'm sure they'll find a great home for your bike. But I just thought, wow, here's a boy who isn't family, who's not connected to our church, but he recognized a need and then responded to that need. I thought, wow, 7 years old, that's so wise. Then we've got these wise men, probably much older than a seven-year-old boy, much older. They responded to something that they saw in the sky, an expectation that they had of Jesus being born or a king being born. And so they left what they were doing and took a huge journey to go and worship Jesus. They were wise and they changed their lives to follow Jesus. Jesus came, lived a life among us, was a baby, and did so many amazing things as he grew up to be a man. As he was about 30 years old to about 33, we understand he went through and spoke such wise words that everyone was just shocked. He did miraculous things that people could only associate with God being able to do such miraculous things. He then went and died on a cross, saying that because he was perfect. I mean, imagine that, being perfect. Imagine being perfect for one day, let alone for your whole life. Imagine if Santa actually stuck to the naughty and nice list and said, for you to be nice, you've got to be 100% nice. That's the only way you get gifts. Would anyone here get presents? Jesus was perfect. He was on the nice list every year of his life. He was sinless. He did nothing wrong. He didn't offend God ever. And then he went to the cross because he said the only way that we could be made nice, could be made good, could get rid of all of the bad things we've done is if he went and paid the price for us. And so Jesus was born. He lived amongst us and he died on the cross for us. He changed what made sense. He changed what was normal. He changed us so that now instead of just thinking about us, a 7-year-old boy not from our church community would come and say, I want to give away something for someone else I don't even know. That was because Jesus changed our world. So what does that then mean for us? It means that when we see things, we may have knowledge, we may have understanding, but wisdom is being able to change our lives to make room for something that's better. Wisdom is to say, for us to be wise men and wise women, we are to change the way we live to fall in line with what God would have for us, how he's designed life to be lived, to follow his ways, not try to live our own ways. Wisdom is to shift when we see things not working the way we think they should. And instead of living for ourselves, we start living for others. Because that's what Jesus came to do for us. He changed our world. He turned everything upside down because he wanted a relationship with us. And so today, as we celebrate Jesus' birthday, we must remember that the man that changed the world, who changed time itself, who changed everything that we have in our culture, is the one we need to look to for our wisdom. We need to look to for our understanding. And when what we do doesn't line up with what he wants us to do, wise people are the one who change to make room for him and what he has to say for our lives. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we pray that you might help us to be wise, that we wouldn't be people just trying to live for ourselves, but instead, as you did, as you showed us how to live, we might follow your ways and live a life of love to you and love to others. We pray, Lord, that this Christmas might be filled with joy and hope and peace. We pray that might come through our relationship with you, our loving God and Father, who loved us so much that you came and did what seemed foolish. But through love, we can see it was wise. We could see it was the only way for us to be in relationship with you. We can see it was the only way for us to be forgiven. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. We pray you continue to change us throughout this day and throughout our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.